In this topic, we will discuss relational databases. Relational databases are the most common type of database in use today. Relational databases use unique keys to connect tables of a database. These connections are called relationships. Databases are designed using something called data modeling. SQL is used to store and retrieve data from a database. A database is manipulated through a database management system, or DBMS. In this topic, we will also look in some detail at the process used to develop a relational database. As we have seen, data about specific entities are kept in separate tables. Often, users want data from more than one table. To do this, the tables need to be connected so that the data that is related can be retrieved. This is done through the creation of relationships between the tables. Relationships are created by storing key fields within the tables. A patient may have an ID number that identifies the patient while they are in the hospital. The ID number is unique to the patient. This means that we can store the unique ID as a key in a patient table in the database, and when we need data about the patient, we can retrieve it by entering the ID number. If we also store the same ID number in a different table, then by matching the ID numbers from the two tables, we can pull data out of both tables that is related to that patient. The key stored in the patient table is called a natural primary key. Primary keys have to be unique. The same key value when stored in a table about an insurance company is called a foreign key. Foreign keys are not unique. Many patients can share the same insurance company. When designing a database, candidate keys are identified, and from the candidate keys, primary keys will be chosen later. Surrogate keys are an automatically generated primary key. A process called data modeling is used to design the database. A data model is created based on what is known at a given time. But the data model is a volatile diagram because as more user information is acquired, adjustments to the model are made. This is why candidate keys are usually indicated instead of primary keys in the model, since the changing conditions can easily have an impact on keys. Usually a variation on the entity relation diagram, more commonly called ER diagram, is used for the data model. Entities are indicated in the ER diagram within boxes, with relationships represented by lines between the entities. Maximum cardinality of the relationship is indicated within a diamond shape in the ER diagram, with M:1 represented here as an example. The diagram can be read from either left to right or right to left. Left to right, you can say a patient is related to one insurance company. And from right to left, as an insurance company is related to possibly more than one patient. Attributes of each entity are not shown here, but can be listed under the entity name. A crow's foot ER diagram uses a slightly different syntax than the original ER diagram. Instead of a diamond shape, cardinality of a relationship is indicated by a perpendicular slash for a cardinality of one, and a crow's foot with more than one prong for a maximum cardinality of possibly more than one. Data is stored and later retrieved from a database by using SQL, or Structured Query Language. SQL can be generated and submitted to the DBMS of a database either directly or through an application program. Most user requests are made through an application program, while the database administrator and possibly someone in health informatics might create and submit the SQL statement directly to the database. A database is manipulated, controlled, and monitored by a sophisticated software package called the Database Management System, or DBMS. The DBMS contains information about what kind of data can be stored in a given attribute. This and other information about the database is stored in database tables and is called metadata. SQL statements are carried out by and results from the SQL query are handled by the DBMS. Stored multiple statement SQL code is stored with and executed by the DBMS. Triggers are multiple statement SQL modules that are automatically executed when specific situations occur. The DBMS also handles security issues like assigning permissions to users so that they can see only data that they need to see. When problems occur, the DBMS is used to solve them. Backups of the database are carried out by the DBMS, and when necessary, the database can be restored by the DBMS. Database projects today are usually modifications of existing databases. This is because most databases have by this time already been written. Occasionally, however, a database may need to be created from scratch. From existing data, user input, and existing files and forms, a database can be designed that will meet all requirements of a database environment. This process takes some time as the data model is developed toward a database design. Sometimes the project may involve merging two existing databases into a new database. Whether you are developing a database from scratch or modifying an existing database, a database development lifecycle should be used. This lifecycle consists of phases in the development process. Specifications must be determined from user interviews and looking at existing files, forms, and reports. A database model is developed while the specifications are being gathered. The model is continuously evaluated for compliance with the specifications as they come to light. Eventually, the volatility of the data model settles down and a database design based on the model is made. Testing can happen at any stage of the process to make sure that the database is capable of carrying out all of the specifications. Small mock-up databases can facilitate testing. When testing is completed, the database is implemented in the production work environment. Maintenance begins as soon as the database is implemented and will continue for the life of the database. At some point, a modification of the database to meet some new requirement will result in the whole development lifecycle being repeated. Specifications for the database can come from many sources. Expert users can be invaluable in obtaining information about what is acceptable for attribute values. The acceptable values for an attribute constitute the attribute's domain. The domain involves things like whether the attribute holds characters or numeric values, the number of characters allowed for the attribute, and where appropriate, specific values that the attribute is allowed to contain. Business rules, too, are specifications that will need to be addressed in the database. Much of the information will come from users, but forms, reports, and files should also be scrutinized for specifications. Specification gathering may go on for some time. A data model should be used and be kept up to date to document current known specifications. In the design phase, the data model progresses toward the database design as more specifications become known. Toward the end of this development process, entities will solidify and become tables of the database. From the candidate keys, primary keys will be chosen. The attribute list will become stable, and relationships will be carried out by indicating foreign keys. During the specification gathering process, each user, form, report, and file will present a different view of the database. A user in the payroll department will want to see different data than will an employee of the shipping and receiving department. All these different views will have to be supported by the database. This means that the database cannot and should not look like any one of the views. Instead, the database design should be derived from the idea of the most efficient storage of all the data needed by all the views. Testing starts almost as soon as the specifications gathering phase. When the database designer summarizes what he/she has heard to the users, the summary is being tested for validity. Users can correct what is said, and a better understanding of the specifications will be the result. The data model and the database design can be shown to the user for corroboration. Testing what the designer thinks is correct is continuous up until the design is complete. After the design is complete and the users have signed off on it, the implementation of the database can proceed. SQL is used to create the database and its associated tables, attributes, and primary and foreign key relationships. SQL is also used to create SQL procedures and triggers that, when executed, enforce business rules. Also, the DBMS will have built-in features that can be used to carry out business rules and attribute domain restrictions. While the database design should be created to obtain the best logical design of the database without consideration of any physical limitations, the design must ultimately be carried out in the real physical world of a DBMS. Not all DBMSs are created equal. The design may have to be adjusted to meet the physical limitations of the DBMS. These adjustments should be kept to a minimum, however, so as to retain as much of the design as possible. Once the database has been created from the design, it can be populated with test data. This data is sometimes copied from production files. SQL queries can then be tested against the data to make sure that the database is performing according to plan. Problems with this testing may mean that the design may have to be changed. There are a number of types of ER models. In addition to the ER model created by Peter Chen in 1976, there is the extended ER model, the information engineering model, better known as the crow's foot model, the integrated definition 1 extended version model, or IDE F1X, and the unified modeling language model, or UML. Three of them are of primary importance today: the crow's foot model, IDE F1X, and UML. IDE F1X is the government standard, and the National Institute of Standards and Technology in 1993 developed a standard for IDE F1X. UML is the newest of the models, and because of its dominance in the object-oriented computer language area for designing classes for objects, it has found favor as a current design tool for databases. Beyond having application for relational database design, UML can be used for object-oriented database design. When developing the design for a database, one of the primary things that has to be incorporated into the design are things that the user needs to keep track of. This can be people, places, things, and/or documents. Once something has been identified that needs to be in the design, it is given a name that describes it. In general, things that are identified in this way are called entities. Entities are the idea of something. For instance, the user may want to keep track of medical procedures. The entity name might be Med Procedure. Within Med Procedure, there would be places for data that has something to do with a medical procedure, but there wouldn't be any actual data. An entity is only the idea or design of something. It is not an actual occurrence of something. The actual occurrence of a medical procedure would be an instance of the entity. So in the entity, you might have a place for the medical procedure name, but in the instance of the entity, you would have an actual data, such as reflux surgery. Within the design entity, there will be places for data that are descriptors of the entity. A general name for these places in the entity is attributes. Attributes must have a direct relationship with the entity. You would not find the cost of a vacation trip to Hawaii in an entity for fast food restaurants. Instead, you should find places for restaurant name, date of opening day, monthly average, gross, etc. In a customer entity, you might expect an attribute for customer name. Attributes describe the entity. They can be shown in an ER model as balloons, as in the diagram on the left, or in a list, as in the diagram on the right. Composite attributes are attributes that contain more than one piece of data. The example given here is for a patient address. Patient address is really made up of the patient street, patient city, patient state, and patient zip. Composite attributes must be broken up into their parts, as has been illustrated in the diagram. Multi-valued attributes are attributes that possibly contain more than one value. The example given here is for the patient's dependents. A patient may have 0, 1, 2, or more dependents. The number of dependents is unpredictable and no clearly defined upper boundary. Multi-valued attributes are treated by creating another entity for dependents and moving the information about a dependent to the new entity. Most attributes have restrictions on what kind of data they should contain. Such restrictions define the domain of the attribute. For instance, the attribute patient age might have a domain restriction of being numeric, greater than 0, and less than 120. Domain restrictions help validate data, since data can not be added to the database unless it meets the domain criteria. Attributes that identify a row of data within the entity are called identifiers. Identifiers that uniquely identify a particular row within the entity are candidates to become the primary key for the entity. Non-unique identifiers can be used to access information in the entity, but additional information may be necessary to isolate the information being sought from other data selected with the same non-unique key. A person's name is an example of a non-unique identifier. Unless a surrogate key is used, one of the candidate keys must be chosen to become the primary key for the entity. There must be a way to selectively retrieve data from the database. Unique primary keys are used for this purpose, as they will uniquely identify data. Primary key values should not change or should not change often because the data within tables will have to be reassociated with the new primary key value. Sometimes one attribute will not by itself uniquely identify a row of data within a table. When this happens, sometimes two or more attributes used together as the primary key may be used to uniquely identify a row of data. This is called a composite key. Since the retrieval of data is more efficient when using a short numeric primary key, using a composite key may slow things down and prove to be unsatisfactory. When a natural primary key proves to be unsatisfactory or there isn't an attribute that uniquely identifies rows within the table, a surrogate key can be used. Surrogate keys are automatically generated unique numeric values. Surrogate keys have the advantage of being short and numeric, which has a tendency to speed up access to the table. The problems with surrogate keys is that they are not natural attributes and therefore have no meaning to the user. Thus, they are not readily known. They also introduce a transitive dependency into the table, which violates the normalization of the table. More on this later. Entities are related to one another using one of three different relationship classes: one-to-one, one-to-many, and many-to-many. In the crow's foot diagram example given for the one-to-one relationship, a patient is related to one account, and an account is related to one patient. All cardinality shown in these diagrams are for the maximum cardinality. Crow's foot diagrams use a perpendicular slash to indicate an occurrence of one. The way that the crow's foot diagram is read is to start at one end or the other and then insert the maximum cardinality symbol in between the other entity. The example for one-to-many is read from left to right as a nurse is assigned to many hospital rooms, and from right to left as a hospital room is assigned to one nurse. The last relationship class is for many-to-many. Here, patient can have many procedures, and a procedure can be performed on many patients. Many-to-many relationships may appear in the ER diagram, but cannot be implemented in the database. Another entity must be inserted between the two entities. In addition to the maximum cardinality, the ER diagram can show a minimum cardinality. When the relationship shows a maximum cardinality of one to many, the entity on the one side is sometimes referred to as the parent entity, and the entity on the many side is referred to as the child. Thus, in the example, nurse is the parent entity and hospital rooms is the child. The minimum cardinality can be shown along with the maximum cardinality, as is shown in the example on this slide. Reading this crow's foot diagram from left to right, you would say a nurse is responsible for from one to many hospital rooms, and from right to left as a hospital room is attended by from zero to one nurse. It is somewhat rare, but an entity can have relationship with itself. These are called recursive relationships. In the example, a nurse might be associated with another nurse who is going to relieve him or her. Thus, all nurses are in the table, and some nurses have relationships with other nurses in the table via the nurse schedule. Some entities are called weak entities if they are solely dependent on their existence on another entity. An employee entity might be related to a dependence entity. The dependence entity can be thought of as a weak entity whose only purpose is to support the employee entity. Sometimes a child entity will use the parent's entity as part of its composite primary key. In the example given, the primary insurance person in the family may be associated with other family members, and the family member entity can use the insured health ID number as part of its primary composite key. Sometimes there are entities that are categories of another entity. In the example shown, there are different categories for nurses. They are all nurses and are shown to have relationships with the nurse entity. When this happens, the different types are called subtypes of the supertype. The supertype, in this case, is nurse, and the subtypes are floor nurse, critical care nurse, and clinical research nurse. All three subtypes can inherit attributes from the supertype. Thus, if the entity nurse has an attribute of nurse's name, then all three subtypes do not have to have that attribute because they can inherit it from the nurse. When dealing with a specific nurse, we need to know which subtype he/she belongs to. This is determined from an attribute in the nurse supertype that is called a discriminator. The discriminator attribute has to have values that indicate what type of nurse we are dealing with. Different ER diagram models carry out super to subtype relationships in different ways. The super to subtype shown in is a crow's foot diagram. The X in the half moon shape means that the three nurse subtypes are exclusive. A nurse can have a maximum of one of these types. If the X were not shown in the half moon shape, then a nurse could be more than one subtype. IDF-1X uses a different syntax, and the meanings are slightly different as well. In IDF-1X, subtypes are either complete or incomplete, meaning that either the subtypes represent all possibilities or they do not. Sometimes a clarification of a relationship can be accomplished by naming the relationship in the data model. This is especially true when two entities have more than one relationship between them. One example of how a relationship name might work is to create the name so that it describes the parent-to-child relationship, followed by the child-to-parent relationship, as in the example on this slide. If the relationship name is written so that it fits in a sentence between the two entities, the relationship can be read from left to right as, a nurse is responsible for many hospital rooms, and from right to left as, a hospital room has an attending nurse.